All right. So when the case went to the Seventh Circuit, the city argued that the court should overturn prior precedent in the circuit under a case called Thompson, which followed the Whiting Pools case from the Supreme Court. And they argued this on three primary grounds. First, that the plain language of 362A3 requires an act to exercise control. So passive retention of the vehicle is not an act. It's just maintaining the status quo. The stay requires maintaining that status quo and not taking action, such as returning the property to the debtor. So the onus would be on the debtor to move for turnover, to retrieve the vehicles. And property impounded prior to the bankruptcy is not property of the estate, because the debtor did not have a possessory interest in the vehicles at the time of the filing. And just to note quickly, I think the mistakes that Evan mentioned by the city in bankruptcy court should be emphasized, because as able counsel, these are mistakes we can avoid. So asserting your 363E rights, filing your proof of claim properly, and objecting to the plan if the plan provides that you're an unsecured creditor and the plan gets confirmed. In these cases, they tried to turn around and assert those secured claims after the fact. So I think it's worth emphasizing those mistakes made by the city. So with respect to exercising control, this change was made in 1984 under the 1984 amendments, and it was, when it was drafted and enacted, it was really meant to apply to intangible property. For example, the prime example would be a creditor asserting causes of action held by the estate. So the argument was this wasn't meant to apply to a creditor, a secured creditor, holding property as of the bankruptcy case and then being required to turn it over. And also, it followed, the city argued that if you follow the debtor's reasoning, 362A3 would then be an end run around the turnover provision of 542A. And this is the mechanism under the bankruptcy code that gets you where you want. So this is, you know, when I first looked at this case, I thought, isn't this just a turnover action? Why are we talking about the stay here? But as you get more into it, that's really the debtor's strategy, is to say, we're going to, in a matter of timing, to say, we're going to use the stay to immediately get this property back, with the policy being, hey, the debtor needs this car to get to work to pay his creditors. So 542 is the provision, and it's not automatic like the stay. It's not self-executing. And importantly, under 542, the city argued the creditor has the opportunity to raise defenses and exceptions, such as, you know, value of the collateral. Is it de minimis value? Or the most important for secured creditors being, is there a lack of adequate protection? And finally, compelling turnover under 362A3 would be inconsistent with the Supreme Court's holding in Strumpf, where the court held that it was not a violation of the stay, where the debtor's bank put an administrative hold on the debtor's bank account or refused to pay on withdrawals to the account in order to protect its set-off rights. So rather than being required to immediately turn over the property upon the request of the debtor or suffer sanctions under 362, the proper process, the city argued, would be for the debtor to assert a turnover action under 542, where the creditor can then assert any defenses, exceptions it may have. Evan, what did the debtors argue? Evan?
Yep, sorry about that. Technical issues. So moving on to the debtor's argument, their main theme was that Section 362A3 is a part of the larger statutory scheme of the code, and you can't look at it in a bubble. And it imposes an obligation, Section 362A3 imposes an obligation on creditors in possession of estate property to return that property to the debtor. And Section 362A3's text, therefore, must be read in the broader context of Section 542A and the code's overall purpose of consolidating estate assets within the bankruptcy court's jurisdiction and to facilitate the debtor's fresh start. So getting deeper into the theme and the specific law that they relied on, the debtors argued that the plain meaning of 362A3 stops a creditor from exercising any restraint, aka control, over property of the estate, regardless of whether that restraint is an active act or a passive act. So adopting the city's argument that it took no further acts following the petition date effectively reads exercise control out of the code. In the debtor's view, section 362A3 prohibits two different things, giving meaning to each phrase in that section. So it prohibits any act to obtain possession of property of the estate or any act to exercise control over property of the estate. Essentially, the debtor said that words have meaning, and because Congress chose to use two different phrases, the court must give meaning to each of them. An act to obtain control is a one-time event, while exercising control is an ongoing process. If Congress had intended to just prohibit the exercise of control only at the moment the creditor first took control of the estate property, the code would prohibit any act to obtain control of estate property and not the more broader term, exercise control.